superficiality. They don't discern the deep things of God. They don't discern the messages of God of destruction and divine judgment. They want to look at some little old fairy tale they make up about the love of God and what God does through his love. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Now, if he could just speak it into existence, that'd be very simple. But Jesus said, "I've got to go and prepare it for you, a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Well, there was a fellow there that didn't quite understand all of that, like some of the boys. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Sorrowfully, Jesus looked at him, verse 6. That's a verse everybody ought to remember. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father." In other words, no man's going to get to that place that I prepared for you except by and through me. The way you got to go, you've got to prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And it's going to take a lot of preparation, just like Noah prepared. It took him generations to prepare. And it's going to take us, at least our generation we're living in, to prepare for the things that God has promised to those that love him. The first message that was preached in the gospel. The first message that was preached when the gospel first began to be blazed abroad in the days of Jesus was by John the Baptist. And it's a wonderful message. Let's take just a look at it. I like Luke's account. I want to go back to the book of Luke, the third chapter. Luke 3, beginning in verse 3. "He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias," or Isaiah the prophet, saying, this is from Isaiah 40, the 40th chapter, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now what's the word? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It takes more than water baptism. It takes more than just repentance. Repentance is just the start. That's your first baby steps in getting right with the Lord, in preparing. But he says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Go straighten up your paths. For every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Go straighten your life up and keep it straight. Repent, be baptized, go straighten your life up and walk a straight life. Lord, what a time of preparation. Well, here come the multitude to be baptized of John. He said, "O generation of vipers." Boy, he was a sweet-talking preacher, wasn't he? First sermon he ever preached. Made them all mad enough to kill him. First message he ever preached. Lord, he just got out of Bible school out in the woods. All right? First thing he did, looked at his congregation. Said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You brought your snakes. How come you to crawl up here?" Boy, what a message. Boy, howdy. These old panty-waist preachers today charming them ever so sweetly with droolings of sugar plums dance through their heads, and all they think about is Santa Claus and Disney World and Cinderella and a bunch of junk. They don't preach the Bible. Boy, here's a real preacher. He said, "You better prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. You generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Go bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." Don't tell me that you repented either. Don't come up and tell me your old phony worldly lifestyle and all. I'm born again. The jingle bells in your ears and ungodly mess under your eyes. Old paint and lips, war paint, and Jezebel. Everybody's a Jezebel today. Oh, I'm born again. And they get them little crocodile tears, and it looks black. You know, them little black streaks come down their face. Oh, I'm born again. Born again, your foot. They've never even been near about born again. He said, you bring me some fruits that's worthy of repentance. Where do you see fruits? Isn't it on the outside? Have you got to read somebody's heart to tell if they're saved? No! Fruit are on the outside. There's apple trees right out there, and you know where the apples are? They're hanging on the limbs. They're not in the bark under the skin. They're hanging right out in the open. That's exactly what the Bible declares. You can look at a fellow and tell if he's a Christian. Praise God, old bone, old ponies. Bring me some fruits that's worthy of repentance and begin. Don't you begin to say within yourself, well, we got Abraham to our father. I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. These guys hadn't prepared themselves for God. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. He come to town, to the river, with an axe. First he called him generation of vipers, and he got his axe out. Says, I'm going to cut you down if you don't start bringing forth some fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast him into the fire. Then the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Praise God, listen to this. He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came the publicans to be baptized. And they said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Take what your salary is and don't be embezzling and taking more. All right, then the soldiers, the Roman soldiers came to him, demanded, saying, boy, he had quite a crowd. What shall we do? He said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, you got to remember, these are soldiers. They didn't mean they couldn't go fight in a war. But don't go around just maliciously and wantonly jumping on somebody because you have authority. Now, policemen do have right to rough you up when you don't obey. Now, that's in the New Testament also, Romans 13. They bear not the sword in vain. Now, some old smooth-talking casualmatic comes along. See there? Not supposed to get violent. You're supposed to get violent when violence is in order, but you're not supposed to be violent just to be violent. These soldiers were used to grabbing folks and beating them up because they were the masters and the others were in subjugation to Rome. Now, he's dealing with Roman barbarians. And then, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered him, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. He goes on, says, his fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather the wheat, that's the real Christians, into his garner, but the chaff he'll burn up with fire unquenchable, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. This was that same fella. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Back in Luke, the first chapter, the angel appeared to his daddy, Zacharias, and in verse 15 it said, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll be great. And he'll drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias. That's Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people say it together. Prepared for the Lord. You got to prepare to meet God, to be accepted of the Lord, to be used of the Lord. That prepare means to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity, to work out the details of, in anticipation of, to plan in advance and be ready for. Let me tell you something. Preparation is essential. If you're going to work for the Lord, it is absolutely essential. And the Lord will reject us unless we really submit ourselves to Him. Just like Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, in every great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. But if a man purge himself from these, that means the dishonor, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and say it together, prepared unto every good work. Prepared. That means to make ready beforehand for a purpose or activity of meeting God's conditions. And Noah did that, all that God commands us that we do. Praise God. What's going to cause you to do it, though? You're going to, by faith, first believe it. Then you can't do it just because you believe it. Did you know that? There's got to be some motivation stronger than that. There's a motivation stronger than faith. What is it? The fear of God. And the Bible said he moved with fear. The fear of the Lord came on him. Just like it did them animals. What was it caused Noah to get his family in that ark? Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives and his wife. The fear of God came on them, and they got in the ark. The same week before the flood, the fear of God fell on the animal kingdom. And the ones that really feared came out of them woods, bellowing, screaming, screeching. Here they come, two by two, out of the woods in anticipation of divine judgments, up the gangplank. Noah didn't have to go out and round them up. He didn't even have a horse. God have mercy. He had the gangplank down, the doors open, and when the last of them animals